Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, from the first chapter, third verse. Nikamagalpatarar galitam phalam sukamukartam ritadrava samyutam vivata bhagavatam rasamanayam muraho rasika buhi bhavukkaha. O expert and thoughtful men, relish Srimad Bhagavatam, the mature fruit of the desire tree of Vedic literature. It emanated from the lips of Sri Sukadeva Goswami. Therefore this fruit has become even more tasteful, although its nectarian juice was already relishable for all, including liberated souls. Nigama Kalpatarur. Kalpataru is referring to a wish-fulfilling desire tree. And Nigama means the Vedic literature. So the Vedic literature is compared to a tree that can fulfill various desires. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says it will fulfill the desires of dharma, artha, kama, moksha, or of mundane religious activities, of economic development, of sense enjoyment, and of liberation. And all these desires will be fulfilled by the desire tree. Mundane religion is referring to religious activities which bless our material life. When we engage and pray simply for an increase in our wealth, health, beauty, fame, name, glory, and all the facilities that we have in this world, then our religion is mundane. And the purpose of it is temporary. And although we can show great devotion and great dedication, but the aim of it is self-centered, because the aim of it is our personal gain and improvement. That is condemned in the Bhagavatam, in the previous verse, which it is called Dharma Prujita Kaitava, Kaitava Dharma, or cheating religion. Cheating religion. True religious principles must produce an eternal result, an eternal benefit. Otherwise, what is the point? And in modern times, the word religion is not always popular anymore, and it has been replaced by spirituality. But it's the same thing. True spirituality means it must give an eternal purpose. Otherwise, what's the meaning? Otherwise, like soap bubbles, blowing and floating and very beautiful, but all gone. So, what is the point of fleeting pleasures? No. So, dharma, materialistic religion. Artha, economic development. Oh yes, everyone is trying to catch the money, wherever it is, somehow or other. Catch it. So, whatever ways we conceive of catching money, in the cause of it, so easily sinful activities come in. Because what to do when it's between profit and principle? What can be done? Profit, such a thing. So in this way, we can understand that economic development is required, but it can also corrupt. We need to eat. There has to be bread. But it can easily corrupt. And well, that's not new. The whole world is filled with such corruption everywhere. Even government leaders are leading the way. I don't have to mention names. You can fill in the blanks yourself. I give you a hint. It goes from A to Z. Anyway. Kama, sense enjoyment, a blazing fire. A blazing fire which will never be extinguished. Whatever you sacrifice in that fire, it's never enough. Samsara dava nada lila loka. It says that this samsara, or this cycle of birth and death, is like a blazing forest fire. Davanala, a blazing forest fire. And people, lila loka, the people are afflicted by suffering. They're afflicted by suffering as a result of the unsatiable burning flames of lust. Lust, never satisfied, always demanding more. Lust to just the passion to enjoy. But where does it end, that passion to enjoy? Enjoy, they say. And what? And for how long will we? For how long can we? We scoop up the enjoyment, but it runs through the gaps between our fingers. The old lady was bent over, her nose was practically touching the ground. Oh, grandma, have you lost something? Fools, can't you see? I've lost the pearl of my youth. In this way, a Bengali proverb is depicting how short is the opportunity. Kama, sense enjoyment. Young and beautiful, for a day. Some insects, they take birth at the beginning of night, and at the end of night, they're gone. Their whole life has passed in that one night. One night is all they had. Just one night. Whole life, everything. They were born, they grew, they gave off some, they had some offspring, and whatever hopes they had a party, and then the end of the night. It was over. Such a short life. So, is ours that much longer? You may say so. I will not say so. It depends what side of life you're on. It's like, it simply depends how old you are. Whether life looks like a long time or like a short time. So, sense enjoyment. One can have, in the Bhagavatam, there is a verse of King Yayati, and it said the king was, he had so many queens, and he was enjoying very much. And time, he never watched the time, but at one point, old age was appearing. But he was not fulfilled yet. Anyway, he got some benediction that he could exchange his old age with someone else and take the youth of another person. So he approached his sons and he asked his sons. And the eldest son said, no, I cannot do that because I'm young and I myself, I need to also enjoy that. This is my only chance, otherwise I will not be able to focus on higher goals at the end of my life. But finally his younger son agreed and exchanged his youth for his father's old age. And again the father was young, and again he enjoyed. And until he was old again, and still not satisfied, what to do? This is the nature of sense enjoyment is such that no matter how much sense enjoyment, it will not satisfy. It will not fulfill us. I always thought it was interesting that the Rolling Stones came up with the song, I Can't Get No Satisfaction. And they tried, they're still trying, they really tried.
I mean, if anybody tried, they did. And still, no satisfaction. Mm. So, Dharmartha Kama Moksha, liberation. Oh yes, liberation. Moksha or liberation is a very sought after goal, especially in India. Or one could say in Asia, because wherever there's Buddhism, also liberation. In India, liberation. People are interested in liberation. The largest public gathering in the world, named the Kumbh Mela in India, where in 1 month some 25 million people are taking bath in the river Ganges. The main purpose of that bath is attaining liberation. There's supposed to be some constellation which makes auspicious time, and whoever takes his bath at those times will attain liberation, so scriptures say. They're lining up, ready for liberation from birth and death, to become free from material life. In the West, we never thought of that. Become free from material life. What are we talking about? What has that got to do with it? But in the East, this liberation is very popular. But even liberation in itself is not enough. It is not enough to fulfill the heart. Because liberation means to be free from material suffering. All right. To be free from dissatisfaction. But what about the higher spiritual satisfaction? Not just the relief, but what about the positive impulse? That is not found. So therefore, this Dharma Artha Kama Moksha, these four things that are offered by the Vedic desire tree, they are spreading all over the world. Yes, many people are doing yoga. Many people know about karma. Many people believe these things. Influence of Vedic culture is found all over the world. But most of the Vedic culture in this explanation is condemned. Dharma Artha Kama Moksha. In Bhagavad Gita, it says, Traigunya Visaya Veda Nistraigunya Bhavarjuna. It says that most of the Vedas, they deal with Traigunya. Traigunya means material things. Astrology. You know, astrology, we can predict your future. It deals with your karma. That's all. It deals with karma. Astrology, to name something. So most of the Vedas are not relevant, actually. It is only one portion of the Vedas that deals with the ultimate goal of life. Nikama kalpatar galitam phalam sukamukat abhitadrava samyutam pivata bhagavatam rasamalayam muhur ahorasita papukaha. That is the part of all the Vedic knowledge that deals with bhakti. People are interested in astrology and Ayurveda and all these things, but all these things are temporary. They don't solve the problem of death. They don't help at all when it comes to death. So, I remember many years ago, I was reading the books of Carlos Castaneda, and it was about Don Juan, some Mexican, Indian medicine man who was teaching him all kinds of tricks, and it was interesting. He could run through a forest in the night, full speed,
without hitting the tree. It's something. He was able to cross a waterfall by stepping on energy points. He learned to see energy lines and energy points, and then stepping exactly in the lines, in the crossings of the lines, then he was able to just step over the water and just cross a large waterfall. So he did all kinds of interesting things. Well, I say, well, so keep on reading. Well, let's see what else is coming. So there was book number one. I bought book number two. I bought up to book number four. In book number four, it describes how the warrior finally, how he's built up his power, his mystic power, and then finally he meets death. And then you get this big dance with death, right? They circle around each other and use different mystic powers, and in the end, he loses. That's when I threw the four books in the bin. Throw it in the bin. This is rubbish. The waste of paper, you know. He did so much trouble crossing waterfalls, running through forests at night, you know, also so many other things, playing with Mescalito, and God knows what else he was doing. And what was the ultimate result? Was same as mine. Same as mine. He croaked anyway. Big deal, you know. It's like, then what's the point of all these achievements? Well, what's the point? These achievements didn't impress me. That's not what I was looking for. It was material. It was material. Rubbish. Spiritual must remain. Spiritual should not break down. So then the Bhagavatam is also a fruit of the Vedic desire tree. And the Bhagavatam is the eternal portion of the Vedic literature. It is describing the eternal situation, the eternal supreme. So in that way, and there, so whatever satisfaction one gets in relation to the Supreme, that satisfaction will stay. So that makes sense. Finally, it begins to make sense. Something that is everlasting. Something that doesn't just go away. I used to play guitar and sing songs and this and that. And so whenever someone was playing guitar somewhere in outside in a group, I would also sit down and, you know, in the scene. And then at one point they'd give the guitar to me and then I'd also sing a song and so on. And I remember there was one person singing a song which was describing how in material life so many things went wrong and how there was difficulty. And then there was a chorus, and the chorus said, "But fortunately, I have the key to escape reality." And then he took a puff of his joint. And everyone was cheering and they thought it was a great song. And I thought it was horrible. Because I thought, what's the point? You know? It's like closing your eyes. You know? They really stand there in front of you with a big gun and you close your eyes as if they're not there. Yeah. Fortunately, I have the key to escape reality. Yeah, but reality is still there. It didn't change. So what's the use of that? That's no good. You have to make it better. Only then we're going somewhere. So drugs, for that matter, are things that just waste our time. Because when we're on the particular drug, we may feel that we're above where we are, and when we come down from the drug, we find that we are below where we started off. And the more we go on with the dope, the deeper we go. Oh, I'm from Amsterdam, so I've seen blue people, and it wasn't paid. It was the overdose. Yes, I have seen. Now, what to say? So now, forget that. Little by little, we can see that so much false enjoyment, so many false solutions are tried by so many people. I saw the bottles that my family member was hiding everywhere, everywhere. In the house, in the car, in the garden, bottles everywhere, hiding from his wife. And she knew exactly where his hiding places were. What do you think? Did she have no brain? So, who was he hiding from? Hiding from himself, that's all. He was merely hiding from himself. So, the Bhagavatam said is a book which is read by men who are thoroughly honest. So, to be thoroughly honest, it's almost something forgotten. It's something that's something who thinks about it. But if you do think about it for a moment, then it makes sense. To be ourselves, to be real, to not be artificial, to not live behind a facade, a masquerade, to not just be an actor in a play, because when we are actors in a play, then we're unfulfilled. We're not living our life. We're not living the life of our heart. Living a life to impress others. Living a life of pretense. How long can we live it? So, let us be ourselves. But then, then the scriptures, they teach us about the higher and the lower nature within us. That we have two sides within ourselves, a higher and a lower nature. And the lower nature is selfish. The lower nature is destructive. The lower nature is bringing us some immediate enjoyment and then suffering. The higher nature is uplifting us in the long term, but it requires sacrifice. But so honesty is a quality of higher nature. And what to speak about being thoroughly honest? That means that we have put honesty as a goal in our life. That means that we have put it in high esteem. That means that we're embracing it and that we're striving for it, for such honesty. And to become thoroughly, thoroughly honest, very deep and thoughtful, gradually we can understand who we are. That we are not, that we are living beings, and that as living beings we are not alone. We are with many other living beings, and we live in a world where everyone is has to somehow or other manage to live with others. Can we be free of fear? Can we be free of fear
of the people that surround us? And if not, then why not? And are we contributing to the fear in the world? Are we contributing to the fear in the world? Are we causing it? Are we causing fear in others? And how can we become a positive, a totally positive force? Krishna kirtana gana nartana paro premam ritam bhuni di dira dira priyajana priyakaro vande rupa sanatana raguyako. Rupa, Sanatana were the leaders of the six Goswamis in Vrindavan. They were thoroughly honest. They had no greed. They were not interested in exploiting the material energy. They had no fear. And it said they were dira, dira priyajanam karo. They were dear to the gentle and to the ruffians. They were appreciated by all. Didn't matter. Everyone could see these are saintly persons. So, thoroughly honest. Thoroughly honest means that we recognize that we, as living beings, and in our deepest roots, are looking for happiness. Anandamaya Vyasat. And that in our deepest roots, all living beings are looking for happiness. Then we should not just look for our own happiness, excluding the happiness of others. We should include the happiness of others. And even if we sacrifice some of our happiness for the benefit of others, that will be a greater source of happiness. So a person who is thoroughly honest will appreciate. Such a person becomes eligible to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Such a person becomes eligible to hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His eternal activities. And such a person can actually take up the service of the Supreme Lord. And such a person can become qualified to go back to Godhead at the end of this lifetime, where there's not just liberation, but where there is eternal transcendental activity. Yes, the material world, it can never supply all that we desire. That is not possible. We can look, we can travel, we can explore, but the material world can never provide everything that we desire. Even most of the Vedic literatures, which are known as transcendental knowledge, cannot supply everything we desire. But the Bhagavatam can supply everything we desire in full. That is the knowledge of the Bhagavad. So, in this temple we are daily discussing Srimad Bhagavatam. It is an expansion of the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is introductory literature which explains to us that we are not the body, we are eternal spirit soul, and we are the eternal servant of Krishna. And then the Bhagavatam shows us how to serve Krishna, and how Krishna manifests himself, who Krishna really is. That we can understand. Who is the all-attractive Supreme Personality of Godhead? So it is in this day and age, in many parts in the world, religion is no longer appreciated. It's like something one doesn't talk about. God. And now you have spirituality without God. And some people speak about the universe, the power of the universe, the mercy, the grace of the universe. It's all the universe. There's no idea of God. It's just the universe. Some sort of machine. But just if we objectively study literature, study history, then we see that the window where society at large is irreligious is very small. The period in history where religion is not practiced is a very short period, actually. The history of this country, very religious. The history of any country in the world, everywhere, religion. And now we have a short period where suddenly religion is something that's not just so much discussed and so on. Now that is there. Not everyone can hear about it. So I find that interesting. So, therefore, it's an experiment. A godless civilization is an experiment, which we are now trying out because we've become so powerful ourselves with all our machines and everything that for now we thought we could take the place of God. We could do it. And if anyone is successful at that, I wish him well. But just wait a while. Time will catch up. And we'll see you a bit later. How it's going, God. So, therefore, the Bhagavatam is the supreme science about the Supreme Lord. Not just a book that says you must have faith, but a book that scientifically describes how all the energies in the world relate to God and how they are controlled and so on. And it's very interesting. In this way, it gives a cosmic explanation. It gives an explanation beyond the cosmos of the spiritual realm. It tells us who we are. It tells us what our potential is. And in this way, Bhagavatam is very interesting. And that is why we are studying it every day. So now I'm just speaking about it and coming to the end of a lecture. But I'm inviting you to come for the next few days and join our Bhagavatam classes at about 7:45 in the morning before the day begins. Because there one can actually find one's true self and our true place in this world. So any questions, any comments?
Hi, Tengumar. What is it that we can do to make this knowledge more attractive for the big mass of people?
What can we do to make this knowledge more attractive to other people? By becoming more attracted to it ourselves. The more we are attracted to it and really captured by it in depth, right, the more we can make it attractive to others. Because then we'll speak with great inspiration. We present it like with genuine attraction. People will feel that we will able to present reasons why Krishna consciousness is attractive. If you're really attracted, you can give reasons why it's attractive. So that's the only way. by becoming more attracted to ourselves. And see, when we were a young movement, the Hare Krishna movement, it was kind of, what shall I say, these people appeared, you know, in the most outlandish outfits on the street and this, that, and everyone thought they were like totally mad, and we found out they were religious and they looked like the ultimate religious fanatics. Then gradually we found that they had actually books that were very deep and there was a lot of knowledge and so on. And we saw that the people, part of that movement, were working tirelessly to distribute that knowledge. So that looked all nice, but then we found that people weren't realizing the knowledge. Yeah. They weren't going very deep in the great knowledge they had. So that's really the big challenge, where the Hare Krishna movement is going to survive, and where the Hare Krishna movement is going to flourish, in like us becoming attracted to Krishna. And how to become attracted to Krishna? By exploring more about Krishna and by serving Krishna. Just in that way, one will become attracted. As simple as that. It's not complicated. It is simple. It's just, how do we get the motivation to do it? We have to voluntarily take up that service. To be with others who are doing it is stimulating, absolutely. And to be with others who are attracted makes it more attractive. Still, we have to do it. And in the beginning, on the strength of intelligence, on understanding. Later, on the strength of taste. And that way, once there is some taste, then it's more easy to cultivate more taste, to find more taste. But there is a lot of taste in the relationship of service to the Supreme Lord. One must find it. One must explore. That's our challenge. Those who last in the Hare Krishna movement. Not those who come for a day, but those who are part of it. That's our challenge. To somehow or other discover Krishna so that we become really, really attracted deep down. Then we will flourish. Anyone else? Okay. What time is the orgy? No.
When have I stopped?
Yeah. And if I go on for 5 minutes, then it's after 5 minutes. That's handy. Very convenient. So it's very nice to be in Cape Town with all of you for a few days. Leaving on the 23rd. Today is 19th, so just a few days. On Thursday, going to Europe to catch the tail of the winter, and then I hope to see you again in April for a couple of days, and then some of you will come to Durban for the Rath Yatra. And if you don't know what the Rath Yatra in Durban is, then maybe that's a good reason to come to Durban, to Rath Yatra, to find out what it is. So, if you don't know what Rath Yatra is, ask somebody and find out what that is. If you can't remember the name, then this is that what you were supposed to ask and find out about. It's Rath Yatra, which happens at the Easter weekend in Durban. evening. The large festival. More I won't say. Just ask somebody. Anyhow, so in this way, thank you very much. I hope that we will meet a little more. Shri Prabhupada Ki.
Wir sollen jetzt gerade bekannt, das war mit Ki.
Jai.